Hi, my name is David Spring from Grant Thornton and welcome to our latest podcast. This week, being National Wellbeing Week, I'm joined by Susie Crowder, who's our Director of Human Capital Advisory. Welcome, Susie.
Thanks, David.
We'll be looking at what firms in the Channel Islands need to be or could be doing for the wellbeing of their staff, both pre and post COVID-19. So, Susie, what should firms be looking for in terms of looking after the wellbeing of their staff?
So from a Guernsey point of view, as we enter phase five of lockdown, which is great, we need to keep a watchful eye on how well people are transitioning back into the world of work. So we will all be used to risk assessments. And indeed, I would go as far as to say that we should keep the wellbeing of our staff during this period in transition as a standing risk agenda item. The other thing I would do is make the time to speak to your staff on a one-to-one basis to really understand what lockdown meant for them, how well they coped or not, and what you as a good corporate citizen can do in supporting them as they transition back. So we spend a huge amount of our time doing KYC related activity. What I would encourage all employees to do is to spend a significant more amount of time doing KYS activity. Know your staff, ask them how they're feeling, engage with them, make them feel comfortable in talking to you about the good days and the bad days, and look to develop a well-being plan that works for everybody. You know, people are our biggest asset, and it is those people and those skills and that human capital generally that will help to drive us through this recessionary period, the depth and length of which we don't know. So making sure that our staff are in tip-top condition is absolutely critical.
So when we talk about well-being, we generally talk about the physical aspects of staff and their well-being. What about the mental health issues and the taboo that surrounds, especially men, that they won't really open up and talk about how they're really feeling? What sort of things could firms do about that?
Well, again, I think it's about creating a culture where people feel comfortable in saying, actually, no, I'm not okay. And at the moment, we are a long way away from that. We know from our own research findings that women were disproportionately impacted by the government imposed lockdown because they largely had to maintain their career responsibilities and their responsibilities, both to their employer and to their clients. But they also, on the whole, tended to pick up the homeschooling for their children, as well as maintaining other domestic responsibilities. That said, we do know that men also suffered significantly during the government-imposed lockdown, but were perhaps less open or confident in talking about how they were feeling and what support they perhaps might have needed. But I think paying a vested interest in all staff during that transition period is going to be really, really important. And I think it's also important to take stock of the picture before COVID was on the scene. So we know that work-related stress, depression, anxiety accounted for 44% of work-related illness and 54% of lost working days in 2018-19. If we pile on top of that the impact of COVID, you can quite quickly start to imagine that the overall well-being of human capital, of people, has been massively hit. We also know that there's a correlation between a happy and healthy workforce and a productive and profitable workforce. So making sure that we are doing everything we possibly can to support our staff, to rebuild their resilience and their overall well-being is really important. Focusing on the physical side of things, absolutely, but also, and probably much more importantly, on the mental side of things. Gone are the days, I think, of the 9-to-5 culture and the sort of the 24/7 environment in which we found ourselves. I do think that employers, as part of this process, will have to really have a good look at how they go about fulfilling the jobs that need to be done, but using perhaps a different, more flexible approach to applying the skills or the people to fulfil those jobs.
So this is almost like encouraging owners and directors to throw the 9-to-5 office culture in the bin and start again with a much more flexible system and approach? Is that what you might recommend?
Absolutely. I think the 9-to-5 culture has absolutely been around for a long, long time and has suited us in many cases. But I do think that advancements in technology, a completely different perspective of how we deploy human capital to get competitive advantage, allows us to throw that rule book up in the air. And to create a more flexible working environment. We know from our own Grant Thornton research that actually the key thing that women in particular requested as they transition back into work is a much more flexible way of operating. Now in Guernsey, despite the government in 2018 giving the green light for further research to be done in developing an action plan on flexible working, there is no provision in the Guernsey employment legislation here. However, I don't think that's a bad thing. You don't necessarily need to have a policy or a piece of legislation to allow flexible working to happen. And in some cases, actually, it's better if the policy isn't there. It's just about having an open dialogue with your employer to say, actually, this is what I would really like, and this is what I think will be the best outcome for everybody, without compromising on client service or team delivery responsibilities. I think as directors, we all have a duty of care towards our workforce, as well as our clients, and as well as trying to maximise return on investment for our shareholders. And I think trying to deploy the human capital in a way that perhaps works better for everybody is a good pragmatic way forwards.
But to facilitate this sea changing approach, so the flexi working systems and procedures, is that not going to impact on the cultural dynamic of boardrooms, where in the past it's always been they need to see their employees as they don't think they're working? And so is this not about performance management and trusting people to do it, so that old Hackneyed expression, empowerment, really does come to play? Is that what you're saying that the director should be doing?
Yes, I think the tone from the top is really important. And if you have an open-minded board who are prepared to look at things slightly differently through different lenses, it has to be the place where we start. When we start to look at remote working practices, performance management and management, a lot of an employee-employer relationship is built on trust, and that has to be extended in these sorts of circumstances where there is a high demand for more flexible working. There is a difference between requesting a completely different set of terms and conditions of employment, or just allowing a bit of flexibility. And I think what I'm picking up is most people are just requesting a bit more flexibility in how and when they work those hours per week, without compromising on performance or client delivery or any of the other responsibilities that they hold. So I do think that if we can develop a culture that is flexible and open-minded at board level and is cascaded down across the entire organisation, that echoes that trust to empower the workforce to do what it knows it needs to do, it could be a very powerful advantage point that we hold as a small island community. And I think at this point we do need to be exploring how we come out of this recessionary period as strong as possible. The sustainability of our human capital should be a priority for every single board of directors in the islands, not least because we're going to need a healthy and happy workforce to drive our companies through this challenging time.
Thanks, Susie. So I think to sum up then, there's maybe three layers of well-being that directors and managers and owners need to be thinking about. One is mental health, second one is physical health, and also the culture and environment that can facilitate the delivery of that. So we've got a lot to do in National Wellbeing Week. Thanks very much for joining us, Susie, and we look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Thank you.